Welcome one and all to the holiday week here at the Damage Report. It's gonna be a time of family and friendship, good times. More importantly, it's a time where I won't be here for much time actually. I'm only gonna be doing a couple of days. And thankfully we have awesome people who'll be filling in, including one who's here to start off the week with us, Francesca Fiorentini.
Yeah.
Happy holidays, Francesca.
Happy holidays. Thank you, John. Yeah, I have no cheer. So I'm gonna be hosting on Thursday, the 23rd.
Yes, with Brett.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's terrible. importantly, we will still be doing Garbage People of the Week. Francesca and Brett can present their Garbage People. I think it'll be the first ever Garbage People that I'm not here for, maybe. Maybe it's been done before. We'll see. But anyway, so exciting times. Francesca, I have decided that to the extent that it is possible, we usually on Fridays on the show are a little bit less tethered to, we just gotta make sure that we cover everything. Yes. Everything that's important. On Fridays, it's usually like, we can have a little bit of fun. I just wanna do that all week. All week for the holidays. So I'm gonna try. I think that we've got a little bit of nonsense today, and that's good.
I appreciate the explanation for why you and Brett sort of like wax on about, I don't know, random things you ate for like 7 minutes. Not even that interesting. I would actually like that. It's just more, I don't know. It's okay. It's very much the conversation people have when they're sort of organizing paperwork and you know, and it just sort of goes on. And then the music and the credits roll. Anyway, I love you, John. Love Brett. Good to be here. Thanks, well, everybody. Everyone, what up?
I hope that you enjoyed what she just said, because Skip, if we could not go back to her shot at all, that would be great. But anyway, through the course of the next hour, you're gonna see a lot of just me. No, Skip, just me. You're encouraging all the wrong behaviors. Anyway, someone in the chat said, when are you gonna change the pictures in the intro? I know, he hasn't been present for a year. Anyway, so we're gonna, through the course of the next 90 minutes, we're gonna talk about a lot of news. Did you know? None of you know this, okay? One of the things we do at public service is we find news that no one knows about. Did you know Joe Manchin has been up to no good recently? We're gonna be talking about that actually. And beyond that, Tucker Carlson is melting down for the holidays. I love it. Okay, we've got one of the cringiest videos I've seen in a very long time. Sarah Palin returns briefly and reminds us all how dumb she is. And then meanwhile in to start off the week with some pretty important news though, including a big leftist political win happening down south of here. So we're gonna have that for you a little bit later on. So if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button, sharing the stream, that would be great. Oh, also top 10 list this week for our tier 2 and tier 3 members on YouTube, our top 10 favorite holiday traditions. So Francesca, we didn't really talk about this. Some, in my mind, some of them will be things that other people will be familiar with. Some might be like just things my family does. So feel free to make it.
Sure. And the holidays also, like, sadly, I don't think we're gonna be bringing a lot of Hanukkah representation or Kwanzaa. So excited to hear other people's traditions around that as well.
Exactly. Well, yes, that's, I'm only going with mine, but I love it. I love it. We had some great think tank videos back in the day where we would analyze holiday tradition from around the world. But anyway, with that though, everybody, let's get into it with this fun video of an awesome, cool guy.
I've always said this, Brett. If I can't go home and explain it to the people of West Virginia, I can't vote for it. And I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
You're done. This is a no.
This is a no.
So in a complete shocker that nobody could have predicted, Joe Manchin is, at least he wants you to believe, killing consideration for the reconciliation bill, the large infrastructure bill, basically what I would call Joe Biden's entire remaining like plan for the first 4 years. It's done, it's gone, because he doesn't like it. Well, specifically he says because he can't explain it. Because if there's one thing that's true of Joe Manchin, it's that he cares about his constituents and that he regularly communicates with them about what they like.
Except I mean, maybe if not,
because they like this bill.
Unless they are swimming across my yacht, and I yell to them, but that is a very long distance and I don't want any peasant feet on my pristine boat. But other than that, how am I supposed to talk about this or explain it other than the fact that I haven't tried? Yeah. You know, if they're going to throw themselves in front of my Maserati, then maybe we'll have a little exchange, but nobody's doing that. Well, a few people are doing that. I mean, it's he keeps on saying this and it's like, buddy, I think you're just bad at communication or just haven't even done it at all.
Yeah. Like, yeah, well, no, and he doesn't care because he doesn't have to.
Yes.
I am sure that he has come across the polls that show that people in his state would, on the one hand, they strongly support many of the elements of this bill. And on the other hand, desperately need the aid that it would contain. He doesn't care about either part of that. He doesn't care about the fact that he was talking about spending several times more money at the beginning of this year. He doesn't care. You can add on a bunch of other stuff to that sentence and we have and we will, but the most important part is he doesn't care because that's not why he's there. But anyway, we are going to go through a lot of different angles on this Manchin thing. Some reactions were swift. Let's evaluate if they make sense. So we have people like Pramila Jayapal saying that she and the caucus have been betrayed. House progressives erupt over Manchin Build Back Better opposition in the screenshot that we'll go to eventually. Betrayed. And Jen Psaki says that they were betrayed. It's a breach of his commitments. And so, Francesca, when I see stuff like that, it's not that they're wrong. Like he is, in a sense, betraying, but it feels almost like, betrayed. What do you mean? Like you're surprised? And also, saying that it's betraying to me makes it kind of personal, like for personality reasons he did this. That's how they always treated cinema. It's not that they don't have personalities that are awful, they do, but that's not why they're doing this. Like, you know what, I didn't feel respect in the negotiations, so I'm saying that's not why they're doing this. So why is the coverage making it seem that this is either A, a surprise, or B, anything other than the obvious natural conclusion of a guy who is fundamentally corrupt is there to protect billionaires from any, you know, threat to their economic well-being?
I mean, absolutely. It is a massive failure, and it sort of drives the knife even deeper, knowing that Democrats, even like Pramila Jayapal, are misrepresenting what we've all seen coming for months and months and months now, especially when Democrats agreed to pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill without being attached to the Build Back Better bill, which I know is being litigated on Twitter by people who have no idea what they're talking about. And so here's the thing about Manchin. You guys, I'm so far away from the Beltway. Like I couldn't be farther from the Beltway. I mean, sort of mentally, physically, I'm not in DC. But even I have read that Manchin's entire goal, we're talking about June here, July, was to punt this until 2022, if and maybe not deal with it ever. His stated goal in private, off the cuff, offhand was, nah. No, next year, maybe not at all. So like that's number one on just sort of the strategic stuff. And then on the whether he cares about this policy at all, no. Because we've all been saying, everyone's like, oh, think about the West Virginians. Of course, think about the West Virginians, but also think about the fact that politicians like their constituents to be poor. They want to keep them desperate, in destitution, on the verge of losing jobs. Why? Because they're easier to manipulate. All right. So like, don't ever think that appealing to Manchin about how does he care, doesn't he not? No, he cares about making his coal money. He cares about making his big pharma money and his family making his big pharma money and keeping his population in the palm of his hands. You know, a constituency that will not vote for him again, and he knows that. So who are we talking about, honestly? So you're totally right. They've been misrepresenting him.
Sure, I might maybe disagree about that last point. That's the only thing I would disagree with you on about whether they're likely to vote for him again. They might not have an opportunity to. It's possible that he won't run again. But as of right now, his approval rating is still relatively high. Like It's because we have a broken system. We have a media that won't communicate to people what the representatives are actually doing. We have a culture that is not instilled in most people an expectation that the politicians should actually deliver for them. We don't have an economic system that gives people the necessary free time to be free to go and acquire that information. Mm-hmm. It all combines to, like, unless he does the thumbs down and that breaks through as a cultural moment, he gets to just be awful and corrupt and non-representative in the background, and most people will never really realize it. And they'll sort of like absorb that, well, he's kind of reasonable, I guess. He's a centrist, that's good, right? He's moderate, I don't want a radical. His position here, you could describe it in a lot of different words. I will choose to. Some of them I can't use because we're broadcasting on linear platforms. But I would not use moderate to describe the position that he has occupied in American politics this year. No. Anyway. Those are some ways to respond to what he did. They're not wrong necessarily, but they're inadequate. Others are responding to Manchin's betrayal, which it is, in a slightly more vigorous fashion. Let's go to Representative Cori Bush.
Your reaction to the news announced by Senator Manchin.
So, first of all, it is not a huge surprise. We have been, and let me be clear, there are six of us who had been saying this all along. Representative Ocasio-Cortez, Representative Presley, Representative Tlaib, Representative Bowman, Representative Omar, and myself, we have been saying this for weeks that this would happen. And we took the hits. We were told that we were anti our caucus, we were anti-democracy, we were anti this and that, when actually what we were and what we still are is pro the people, because the people have to be first. The people have to win. And so when I think about this no, this was a no all along. And so what we had was a bit of leverage, which was having the coupling of the two bills, the BIF, the infrastructure package, as well as the Build Back Better Act. Having those coupled together was the only leverage we had. And what did the caucus do? We tossed it, you know, and for me, it's really, it's sad. It's sad for us to say, let's look good instead of being good. Let's look strong instead of being strong. Let's look like we have a win instead of actually having a win.
Cori Bush is right, and she's referring to things about which she was right back then. I'm a dumb, naive, dumb dolphin, so I think that it matters that people were right, that they knew what was going on and what was likely to happen. I think that getting your predictions right should matter. I understand that that is an incredible minority position in America, but Francesca, she and others, and she named them, you know, like AOC and Ilhan Omar, Jamal Bowman and all that, they were right. They knew what was going on, and we were gaslit by other representatives and basically 99% of the media about that.
And not only that, I mean, their names were dragged through the mud as being clout chasing or wanting to get like a cable news appearance because they were gonna vote no on infrastructure because they hate roads. Yeah, $550 billion of new spending. And again, like looking through that actual bill and trying to understand like how much of it is transformative and how much of it is handouts to corporations. Like, you know, I think that there is a lot more in that infrastructure bill that is not at all, this is such a status quo bill. So let's not kid ourselves as to how amazing that was. But I appreciated Cori Bush being so clear about what the goal was. It was to deliver for the people. And this is the difference between someone like Cori Bush, freshman congressperson, and Nancy Pelosi, who's been in Congress since the beginning of time. It's that one understands that they have to deliver for their constituents. They gotta go back to their constituents and explain why they didn't get something done, rather than explain to their donors how they're going to mostly keep their interests protected by not getting anything done, i.e. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, etc. So, yeah. It is a massive failure on the part of the Democratic leadership to not get this across the finish line after months of them lying and saying that yes, Manchin is gonna come to the table. We've got Manchin. Don't you worry about it, you little children, you stupid, stupid progressives with your stupid holdouts and your ridiculous pie in the sky. Oh, we wanna help working families. Shut up, we've got it. And guess what? They don't got it. Just like they didn't have it in 2016 that led to Donald effing Trump becoming president. Guys, centrists have not had this for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're wrong about it. It would be one thing if the thing that the squad was trying to get was some total pie in the sky leftist dream or whatever. And it's like, oh, they were wrong. Oh, you leftists thinking. It was Biden's agenda they were trying to pass. The centrists failed to deliver on the centrists' platform.
Yes.
The only ones fighting for the centrists seemingly are the left. And you know, we've pointed that obviously many times before. So here's the thing. Like, who knows? Who knows what'll happen or what could have happened? There's always a possibility of literally anything. But we suspected that they were right, that there was a reason that they spent months trying to detach those two things, the so-called moderates. It's because they wanted to pass one and not the other. And so we said that at the time. The six who voted against it knew it at the time. And now it's I tweeted this video out. So you can find it on my Twitter if you want. Stephanie Ruhle this morning is like, why do the progressives keep saying that they knew that if it got detached, one wouldn't pass? I mean, obviously they didn't have the votes. Only one was ever gonna pass. So why are they even bringing this up? Which is just so petty and pathetic. Because like, you could say everything she just said as some sort of like really vindictive political like real politic person, if in the position she has in the media, she had been saying that back then and said, obviously they're breaking it apart because they only want to pass one, but that's what's going to happen. You don't have the votes, so only one is going to happen. And oh, by the way, they're totally doing it because they're corrupt and Joe Manchin doesn't give a damn about his constituents because we don't fundamentally live in a democracy. If she had said all of that back then sure, she could mock people now. But she was a willing participant at that time of the myth that this is just, these damn progressives don't understand how politics is done. They're like, they're like insulting these great senators, implying that they're lying about what they're gonna do. Manchin was on West Virginia radio this morning saying, no, I knew I was never gonna support this. He said he knew from the beginning he would never support it. When we were saying he was lying, we were 100% right. Everyone in the media that implied that, like, if you combine all of the supposed dignity that 100 senators have, you couldn't fill a teaspoon with it, but they pretend that it is this great historic thing, like they're so best deliberative body in the history of the world. How dare you insult these great senators? We don't insult them nearly enough.
It is the ultimate Eric Andre meme of like him. It's like centrist smoking gun, shooting another centrist, shooting Biden's plan and turning to the camera and going, why would progressives do this? Like that's literally what it is. That's exactly, it's just their game. They're just fighting each other. And I think the real question is, and it's one, you know, TBD, is what Pramila Jayapal's role has been in all of this, right? The leader of the Congressional Progressive Caucus did not vote against, like the six squad members, against the bipartisan infrastructure bill, kept on swearing and saying that like Manchin would come to the table, they were gonna get this through the finish line. And it's because she fundamentally believed Nancy Pelosi. And I don't know what Wiley Pelosiism, you know, what sort of like, you know, old idiom she pulled out of a magic hat to like, you know, woo Pramila Jayapal in her old folksy way, but she didn't do it. Like Nancy Pelosi didn't do it. And the fact that Pramila Jayapal listened to her rather than sort of listening to her caucus and also her gut being like, look, we know if we give Manchin this win, he's not gonna give us a win. You think this fool cares? We know he's bought and sold by coal, pharma, et cetera.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, and so, you know, did you want the agenda? Well, some people did, others clearly didn't, and also don't care about the political ramifications of not making good on this. This next year is going to be devastating for the Democrats.
Yes.
When people have to start, like, first of all, we're already seeing increased people being kicked out of their apartments. People are gonna lose their homes because they got rid of those protections. The child tax credit, that's gone starting in like 2 weeks. And within 6 weeks, they're gonna have to be paying off their student loans. And meanwhile, Manchin is, you know, eating like tomahawk steaks on his yacht, not caring about, like, some Democrats want power and wanna be in the majority. Some want power, but don't care about being in the majority. Manchin fulfills his responsibility to the billionaire class in the minority as much as in the majority. He's just he's holding a spot. He's stopping anything from happening by taking up 1% of the Senate. So now that Joe Manchin has announced that the reconciliation bill is not going to happen, you forget the Biden administration, we're done with all of that. So what should actually be done? Do we just move on? Well, Bernie Sanders thinks there's something that we should at least pause on briefly before moving on. Let's take a look at that.
I would hope we would have had 50 Democrats. Mm-hmm. But if that is the case, then I hope that we will bring a strong bill to the floor of the Senate as soon as we can. And let Mr. Manchin explain to the people of West Virginia why he doesn't have the guts to stand up to powerful special interests.
Oh, so you want to vote on it no matter what, even if...
Absolutely, absolutely. The American people have got to understand what is at stake. For decades now, what Congress has been doing, giving tax breaks to the rich, not standing up to the drug companies, so that we end up paying the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, ignoring climate change. The president of the United States and almost every Democrat is trying finally to address these issues.
Did you know this was coming?
Mr. Manchin doesn't want to support us. Well, look, we've been dealing with Mr. Manchin for month after month after month. But if he doesn't have the courage to do the right thing for the working families of West Virginia and America, let him vote no in front of the whole world.
So how do you tell somebody out there watching, wondering, how come you couldn't get Joe Manchin on board?
Okay, so we're gonna get back to the whole thing about making the vote and all of that. But I wanna pause briefly on how that video ended, because we've been through months of this now, these negotiations. And they played out how we thought Manchin was who we thought he was. And if Manchin wasn't, then Sinema would have done
exactly
the same thing. She would have been the person. Okay, so we knew that. So now he's asked, after just laying out, Manchin is fundamentally corrupt. He's not representative of his people. We're going to force him to finally explain why he holds the position that he does. Jake Tapper says, whatever, forget all that stuff. How do you explain to people how you didn't get Joe Manchin on board? I just explained to you that he's not representative. He's not waiting to be wooed. This wasn't about diplomacy. This wasn't about making sure he knows the polls of his constituents in West Virginia. He is a plant of the billionaire class to stop anything from happening. And Jake Tapper's like, oh, so it's your fault then. So how come you didn't get him to do what the? And Jake Tapper, by the way, his face was dead during all that. He doesn't care at all about the fact that none of this is going to get passed. And it was so abundantly clear from his big dumb face.
So I just want to say that I do think there seems to be an unspoken code, even though you've got a two-time presidential candidate, Bernie Sanders, who has railed against billionaires and the 1% for so long. I think there is an unspoken code among senators that it's like, we're not necessarily going to out you as being mostly made of dark money and like a little bit of mayonnaise. You know, like we'll talk about the mayonnaise, but like we can't talk about the 95% of your dark money. And I'm not trying to like harp on Bernie here, but it seems to be an unspoken rule. And that's why I do think we need to change Congress. We do need to change the Senate. Obviously, we need to reform the Senate. We haven't even talked about how undemocratic it is that a senator who represents, you know, I don't know, a fraction of the people who voted for Joe Biden, I did the math on people who voted for Joe Biden. It's like 81 million compared to the 290,000 that voted for Manchin. Mm-hmm. It's like they get 279 times the representation that anyone who voted for Biden gets. Same. So, you know, I mean, it's bonkers, but I do think that
to be fair, let's be clear, they don't get any representation.
Oh yeah.
But they did choose Manchin.
Sadly. They chose Manchin. But a couple of things, like I don't know whether it was the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do, but sure, have him explain it to the world. Have Kyrsten Sinema and Senator Manchin say, this is why we voted no. And they'll have to tell their constituents. And instead of the headline being sort of this dibble dabble of like, you know, wheelings and dealings and who's doing this and dibble dibble gobble gobble, instead of sort of Manchin and Sinema looking like petulant, you know, children, but who are holding out for something perfect, they're going to have to just explain no, and then literally line by line have to say, I mean, if the media covers it correctly. So yeah, but lastly, I think we need to move to a point where we can call out senators like Joe Manchin for the amount of money that they've invested or have invested in them in again, climate polluters, in big pharma, et cetera. It just, we're not there yet. We're like most of these fools do take corporate money, no matter what party they're from.
100%. Really fast forward, and I do want to give a little bit of credit to Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who explained a lot of the structural problems with the Senate that go beyond just the Manchin thing. But she does seem to agree with both Bernie Sanders and also Chuck Schumer says they're going to force a vote on it. I guess we'll see. But let's go to AOC talking about this here.
But we really need to create a governing environment in the United States Senate, make it tough, don't go on vacation, come back, call the vote, have to stand in front of your constituents and say, no, I'm going to take dollars, I'm going to take the food out of your kids' mouths, make him take that vote. They made us take the vote for the bipartisan infrastructure bill. It was a tough vote. It wasn't easy. And you know, we have to stop giving people get out of jail free cards. Enough. And it's really about time that we start to get serious about governing, as well as leaning on the president's executive authority, which I do not believe has been used to the fullest extent that the American people deserve.
Exactly. Yeah. And she explains multiple different ways that he could do some of what would be in the infrastructure bill through his executive power. Obviously, it would be a tiny fraction of it. But Francesca, what I would like to see is, remember how annoying Trump wanting his name on the stimulus checks was? I think in place of the checks being mailed out every month, Biden should send a fake check that has the faces of those who voted to block this in place of the child tax credit that they would be getting. And maybe throw in there a little bit, like, you know, for people who need dental care, that he blocked that. Like there has to be some cost to this. And I don't even think that would, like, if that were to happen, that doesn't even necessarily matter to Manchin, but there has to be something. And I don't think there's going to be. I think we're just going to move on. And Biden is going to go back to my friend Joe Manchin. Maybe he'll work on me in the next one. That's my bigger fear.
I mean, what a massive failure. You know, it truly is a massive failure on the part of Joe Biden and this presidency for not being able to put pressure on your own party and for not being able to lobby and to rally his voters, the Democratic voters, to not be able to communicate accurately to the American people what exactly is at stake right now, and ultimately come off looking like you don't really care, that you're okay with things like the child tax credits expiring, that you're okay with people being evicted from their homes, that you're okay with just foregoing universal pre-K. You know, yeah, sure, we kind of had it on the table. I mean, it was a $4 trillion plan. It was over 10 years. But anyway, I'm fine with like nothing. I'm fine with nothing. And I think AOC is absolutely right. I just want to say Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski have like taken selfies with Manchin. They're big old homies. So when Scarborough's like, absolutely, just stop, please. Just give it up. Just don't stop glad handing like AOC just because she's on your stupid program. I'm sorry.
They're sending each other Christmas cards this year, definitely.
They absolutely are. Of course they are. And just finally, I think AOC is right. Biden has a role to play going forward. If he can't get anything done with anybody else, then what about abolishing student debt? What about actually taking steps to get waivers across the country so that we can have single payer healthcare on a statewide level as per Obamacare, right? It's the closest to Medicare for All we can get. He promised that in his presidential run. So do it. And these are not things that have to be done by executive action. They are things that are at his disposal. And he needs to mobilize them.
Yeah. And he's just choosing not to. It's so annoying. Anyway, we're gonna take a first break. When we come back, lots more fun after this. Okay, just a little bit more on the Manchin thing, but not directly about Manchin. Don't worry. Let's jump into this video.
But that's gonna speak against Joe Manchin, though. I want to know who's the real president of this country. Is it Joe Biden or Joe Manchin?
I'm sorry, I interrupted. I don't think the vice president can hear you. It's Simone. I'm so sorry, Charlamagne. We have to wrap.
She can hear me.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me, Madam Vice President?
I'm sorry. You got a wrap. Oh. So I'm sorry to interrupt.
They're acting like they can't hear me.
I can hear you.
Oh, so who's the real? So who's the real president of this country? Is it Joe Manchin or Joe Biden, Madam Vice President?
Come on, Charlamagne. It's Joe Biden.
I can't tell sometimes.
No. It's Joe Biden, and don't start talking like a Republican about asking whether or not he's president.
Do you think Joe Manchin is a problem?
It's Joe Biden, and I'm Vice President, and my name is Kamala Harris. And the reality is, because we are in office, we do the things like the child tax credit, which is going to reduce black child poverty by 50%, on track to do that.
Well, if you're going to keep talking about doing the child tax credit, you better stop talking soon, because it might expire during your little talk there. Because that's done thanks to Joe Manchin. So to return to the point we were talking about before, who's actually in charge? So they tried to pretend that she couldn't hear. And then another aide tried to like cut off the conversation, which is like, if the issue was that you couldn't hear, why would you like instantly cut it off? You're just jumbling up your excuses at that point. But to her limited credit, she actually started to answer the question, kind of. She was incredibly tense, Francesca, said that Charlemagne the God there was talking like a Republican.
Tense, defensive, scoldy, not very vice presidential. Doesn't look very confident or project an air that this White House has got it. And honestly, like, I was struck by how patronizing she was. And it reminded me, let's be honest, the last time that Charlemagne the God spoke to somebody in the executive branch, it was Joe Biden, or, you know, a presidential hopeful Joe Biden telling him, "You ain't black." And I have to draw the parallel here, but the way that Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, spoke to Charlemagne the God was also sort of a, shut up. Don't question us. We are in charge and you know that. And almost like treating him like a kid. And look, Charlemagne the God is like a comedian, host, whatever. Like, I'm not saying, you know, he's not trying to like definitely do a gotcha question, and he's trying to ruffle her feathers. Mm-hmm. But he's actually speaking to a question that I think we all have. So answer him with a little bit more respect and a little bit more poise and a position and a poise worthy of the vice presidential office. I don't know, from what we've been hearing, the vice presidential's office is like a hot mess. It's a hot mess.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like the body language where she's like squirming in her seat and doing this, or the fact that he's looking at a big screen, but it reminded me of like a Star Trek episode where they're communicating with like a hostile alien species that's like threatening to blow up their ship. It felt like that. I agree. Look, I don't necessarily care about poise as a general thing. In this case though, her, I think, somewhat feigned frustration combined with that BS talking point that he sounds like a Republican was designed to avoid having a substantive, productive conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm implying that he's either questioning that Biden actually won the election or that he's being controlled is not what Charlemagne was doing. That's not what he was doing. He was saying, who actually wields power? Who is determining the course of the country, the course of the party, the course of the Biden administration? Now, you could have had a somewhat defensive response from Kamala Harris that was more productive. And I think it could have gone like this. Well, you know what? It's incredibly frustrating that people like Joe Manchin are working to undercut my president, Joe Biden. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to show that he is still a president, because he's going to cancel student loan debt via executive order. He's going to do as much as he can through executive order to get as much of this done as possible. And then we're going to go to West Virginia and we're going to talk to Joe Manchin's constituents and remind them of who the president is and who's going to actually represent them. You could have gone off on all sorts of different stuff like that.
Or you don't even have to
say,
to
divert it.
Yeah. Or, and if you do want to shut it down and you do feel disrespected, be like, it's Joe Biden. Thank you, Charlemagne. Smile. I'm on a comedy show. Have a good night. Like, that's all you have to do. That would have shown like a little bit more respectability than what she did. Sorry, you're drinking coffee.
Getting basically nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically chai. Ooh. Yes. Who's actually in charge? Is it coffee or chai? Okay. Now with that, let's move to Okay. We'll take an early second break. You know what? It's the holidays. Let's mix things up. So we're gonna take a break. We're gonna respond to more of your comments. When we come back, Tucker Carlson is awful about what, you ask? Oh, just everything. We'll get into it after this. Okay, you can't avoid it. We are gonna have to get to Tucker Carlson, unfortunately.
No. So here's what's that.
This shows the labor force participation rate of American men. It goes back to 1950, 71 years ago. What do you notice? The line goes straight down. Now, here's another chart, similar but different. This is the labor force participation rate of women in America. And that line moves in the opposite direction. So as you can tell, for 70 years, we've been losing men in the workforce. Now, many call this progress on the assumption that anything that is bad and degrading for men must be good for America. But it is not progress. It's a problem. The average man defines himself by his job. Yes, men and women are very different, extremely different. Our whole society is built on their differences. Every society is. And the thing about men is they kind of need to work. They tend to fall apart when they're unemployed. Not all of them do, but enough of them do that we should be worried when we see trends like this.
Okay, so yes, most men do need to work. They don't need to work if they're born the heir to a fortune necessarily. Maybe as like a hobby, like as a goof, they'll get given a career in media. Some men are like that. Anyway, so that whole thing, Francesca, there's two aspects of this that we need to talk about. One is the insane misogyny of him trying to argue that 70 years of economic problems for men are not a result of exploitative capitalism. Deregulation of corporations, the tax code being totally turned on its head, exploitation of foreign workers and all that. It's just that women are working. But first of all, let's just point out that he's also lying there. So first of all, he's lying in that he says men are always going down, women are always going up. Can we jump to the female labor force participation rate chart right there? Because what I see there is women's participation in the labor force seems to have flattened out 40 years ago. So if that chart was true, it wouldn't demonstrate what he's saying. But also, by the way, he's just lying. He made up those numbers. So let's go to that briefly. While the trend lines, this is according to the Daily Beast, while the trend lines for men's and women's participation rates, Carlson aired, are accurate, according to the BLS, the values on the y-axis of the graph showing the female rate had grossly incorrect numbers. Both of them had been shifted from 65% to 90%. The women's rate should have started at 30 and peaked at 65. They just added 30 points to every spot of women on the chart.
Jesus.
So their rhetorical point wouldn't make any sense that this is not women's fault, even if that was true. What they said isn't actually shown by the chart, and the chart that they used is made up from the beginning. They just made the numbers bigger. It's amazing how little regard they have for like anything having to do with ethics, journalism, or just not completely misinforming their audience there. The whole thing's just a big fat lie.
I see a graph and a line. It doesn't matter. Like it's look, this is what the Sackler family used in order to push OxyContin. And like you fudge the numbers. And again, that's not the point. The point is this is a pillar of white supremacist capitalist patriarchy. That's the patriarchal pillar. You have to tell white men and they're like BS grievance politics when really the world kind of designed for and by them that women are the cause of this. And that is, it's so much about this like Christian nationalist chauvinism that is really scary and that Tucker Carlson has been embracing for so long. And that is to demonize women in the workforce. And let us be honest, because the Bureau of Labor Statistics has been talking about the massive exodus of women from the workforce since the pandemic began, right? Not only how disproportionately women and women of color are essential workers, number one, so already on the front lines, already being hit hard, but they've also been on the front lines of people who have been laid off, for people who have left the workforce in order to care for families, right? And it's just like, no, none of that. And we're talking millions of women who are like, it is, you know, who desperately need something like the Build Back Better Act. It bothers me because I can't find the funny. I'm trying. cannot find. It bothers me because
I don't have any funny for you either, but.
But John, you rattled off so perfectly, right? What the real enemy of the working class is, right? It is giant corporations evading their taxes, shipping jobs overseas. It is not having real immigration reform, right? To actually, you know, so we don't exploit labor, right? Yeah. And so companies can't get away with that, right? Like all these huge meat and agricultural industries, and we don't have a party of the working class. We just don't. And I'm not saying we need a third party, but the Democrats, it's like you hear Bernie and it's like, yeah, lean into the fact that you want to be the Democrats of FDR.
Yeah.
Right? Like talk about working class people. We don't have that at all. So instead, you create this vacuum for effing Tucker Carlson to come in there and blame job loss on women.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We just ran through like three different layers of lies for Tucker Carlson. You might think, well, that's probably enough lies. How could there be more lies? I think that there is one more meta lie, one more umbrella lie over all of that, which is the supposed objective of this segment that he had. You might assume that he's describing a liberal idea of what the workforce should look like, what the economy should look like, which is men can work and women can work. And that he represents, no, I don't want that. What I want is what they supposedly had in the 50s, which is the men work, but the women don't. Okay, so you have two different, but that's not true. That's what he's implying he wants, but he doesn't. Because women being involved in the workforce, is it a product of women increasingly wanting to work and being able to work? Yes, it is. But it's not just that. It's that over the last 50 to 70 years, they've increasingly needed to work. Whether they want to live independently or if they want to live with a partner, they have to work because you can't get by on one salary. To get to the world that Tucker Carlson pretends he wants, you would have to pay workers far more, give them benefits, allow them to retire, allow them to live on one income. But he does not support that in any way. He has supported decades of Republican presidents that have tried to keep your wages as low as possible, strip away as many of your rights that you have, ability to organize, benefits, all of that. He's not in any way interested in producing the world he pretends he wants. He likes the position we're in right now. In the same way that you were talking about earlier, he wants them to not be making money and to be desperate because people in that condition are ripe for his sort of exploitative, xenophobic political propaganda.
Yes.
So he will conjure an image, an illusion for them to get them to continue to support politicians that will never produce the world he says he wants them to follow. So that is like at least four layers of lies in one segment.
Absolutely. The other thing that's stagnated over the last 40 years is the minimum wage. If the minimum wage kept pace with inflation, it would be like $28 at this point. Get Robert Reich in there. He knows graphs. He'll draw one for you. But no, no, no. Can you imagine how scared little Tucker Carlson would be if someone with actual statistics who accurately represented them, who actually understands the economy, how scared he would be? No. He can't properly inform his audience. It's devastating because it falls on the backs of women and it falls on the backs of workers too. And it pits, again, it pits workers against one another, pits them, divides them, pits them against undocumented immigrants, immigrants in general. And it's like, yeah, we should, it's all because of the pill and abortion rights. And so when you take those away, then suddenly my salary's gonna go up.
Yeah.
Cool, buddy.
Very cool. Okay, let's jump into, let's do this next video. Tucker Carlson's got a lot of issues. Watch 5 seconds of his show and you'll know about that. But there are a couple of myths about Tucker Carlson that I continually want us to fight back against. One is that, well, yeah, he's bad in a lot of ways, but at least he's a conservative who's against war. Is he though? Take a look at his lack of reaction to this insane statement being made on his show.
We don't need a military that's woman friendly. We don't need a military that's gay friendly, with all due respect to the Air Force. We need a military that's flat out hostile. We need a military full of type A men who want to sit on a throne of Chinese skulls. But we don't have that now. We can't even get women off of naval vessels. That should be step one, but most of them are already pregnant anyway.
Okay, all of that is homophobic, misogynistic, absolute nonsense from a guy who can barely babble his way through a talking point. But did you note that when he says that we need a, was it a throne or a pile of Chinese skulls? Tucker does this. That's it. Imagine if Francesca talked about like, you know, building the foundation from her house from Russian spines. I'd have a reaction, I think. He didn't care at all because, yeah, he loves the idea of demonizing China and potentially blundering us into a war with China. But he's totally anti-war, Francesca. That's what you leftists need to understand. You should work with people like Tucker Carlson because he doesn't stick to the dogma of the Republican Party. He's an independent thinker on things like foreign conflict.
Well, I think it's really interesting, and I think the left sometimes we don't have a good line on this, but it is important to know that when the far right is supposedly anti-war or supposedly populist or supposedly, you know, agrees with not getting involved in Iraq or not getting involved, it's not because they care about the people of Iraq. It's not because they care about the people of the world. It's not because, you know, of any sort of empathy. It is because they believe in actually just seizing and stealing and killing as many people as possible. Like, their problem with the drone program is that it didn't kill enough people. And by the way, as I've always said, Trump expanded drone strikes by like 450%. It is documented. We just didn't talk about it because there was so much else to talk about. But so right wing populists, their problem is the veneer of benevolence that a lot of neoliberal war hawks go into wars like Afghanistan. Oh, we're gonna free the women, et cetera, et cetera. They don't like that veneer. I don't like that veneer because I think it's disingenuous and I'm actually anti-war. They don't like it because they're like, no. Let's go in and bomb them and steal all their treasures because they're savages. So let's understand like what far right so-called isolationism is. It's deeply xenophobic, obviously deeply misogynistic and homophobic as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And they had to combine all of those things. And also the idea that like every woman in the military is already pregnant. What are you? I don't even understand what point they're trying to make at this point. I love that like they've conjured up this boogeyman of women feminizing like the military. Like they're so desperately looking for things to stop increasingly economically, like doomed conservatives from taking a look right around at the state of their life and wondering why Republican political power has never resulted in an improvement of their position in life. And so, it's pregnant soldiers have wrecked America today. What'll it be in a year? I don't know. Stay tuned. It'll be some other bat-esque crazy stuff. I didn't say anything there. I started to say something, but then I stopped. I didn't say the T, so I don't think that it counts. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Guano.
Ooh, okay, I think it's time for the holidays, everyone. Okay, let's briefly jump into our last thing. Let's play this video.
Bing bong.
Are you vaccinated?
Yes, sir.
Hey, yo. Who's the president, man? Who's the president?
Byron.
Who's the president?
Byron.
What do you want to tell Joe Byron right now?
What's up, baby? Take me out to dinner.
Do we get it?
We got it.
Okay, so that is the Jonas Brothers participating in this viral thing that's been going on. I just want to say I don't like it. So I'm trying to think, what if they get to the old man holding the camera and it's not Biden, it's Bernie? No, I still don't think that I would like it. I don't think that I would. What do you think?
Yeah, Bernie would be like, yeah, okay, enough, stop.
yeah, whatever, let's move on.
Yeah, you got it.
I don't think I would, I wish that I could have an alternate universe where it was AOC and then test. I probably would like it. Anyway, here's the thing, that I find to be like cringy and all that. I don't like it, it's not for me, I'm a billion years old, whatever. But you can be opposed to what you just saw for other reasons. Let's go quickly to this Fox and Friends video.
I don't want the Jonas. I don't expect them to save this country. I'm actually really troubled by the beta male complex that's going on, the fear that young men have like that of getting a cold. All of this is very troubling to me as a country. Thank God we're not in a World War II moment. I don't know who would step up at this point.
Okay, so
women stepped up in World War II. What's wrong with you?
No, they're saying we don't want the women either.
You
we don't
tool
want them
of there. The patriarchy, Christ, like just find yourself, lady. Please save yourself. I hope three spirits visit you and they're like Susan B. Anthony and, you know, like Audre Lorde. And then you in the future, when you've actually read some feminist material, help yourself get out of your toxic relationship. I can't do this anymore, John.
No, well, don't waste the spirits on her. I'm really hoping that they will visit and make something of Elon Musk. But anyway, really fast, can we go to that last graphic in this? So you're a beta male if you don't want to get a cold. You know, it's only killed 800,000 people. What does Fauci know? She was on a reality show 20 years ago. But you're also a woman if you get COVID. Tucker says you're feminized if you get COVID, but you're a beta if you don't want to get COVID. What the hell are we supposed to do? Anyway, that is apparently all the time we have for our first hour, but we do have a lot more where that came from. So if you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube or on a members app, don't go anywhere. We're gonna go away for a short little break, but we got more coming up, including Meanwhile In after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.